The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." He replied and said to him, "Teacher, all of these I have observed from my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At that statement, his face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, so Jesus again said to them in reply, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said among themselves, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For human beings it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God." Peter began to say to him, "We have given up everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. May the words of the Gospel out the way of sins.
I haven't heard on the radio yet, but yesterday's playoff game in Denver was canceled due to 12 inches of snow. Talking baseball. Because it's time for the, final eight to enter into the playoffs and find out who's going to the World Series. I haven't seen many other countries participating, so I'm not sure that title, but nonetheless, what I often hear in the losing team locker room, and we certainly heard it when I was in the water polo, was we just didn't want it bad enough. That's why we lost. We just didn't want it bad enough. Meaning we didn't put in the time or the effort or have the mental toughness. We weren't ready for that particular team's offense or their particular defense. We hadn't prepared ourselves for the game, and we weren't willing to sacrifice everything we needed for the win. We talk about all that kind of stuff, and there's a real desire as a coach that you want to engender in your team, that desire to win. What if we bring desire into our spiritual life? What do I desire out of my relationship with God? What do I desire from my Catholic faith. The rich young man apparently has done everything well. And yet he lacks this one thing. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "Go, sell everything you have. Give it to the poor. And then come and follow me. And you'll have treasure in heaven beyond your wildest imaginings." And he went away sad. Mark doesn't like give us the happy ending, you know, that well, 2 months later he changed his mind and no. We don't know. Maybe he was sad unto eternity. That'd be really sad. So if he's keeping all the commandments, he's doing the religious practice of the law to perfection. He says, "From my youth, I've kept all of those." Yeah, okay. I could just work on that part. What does it mean when Jesus asks him, in love, to give everything away, to care for the poor, and follow after him? It's a really powerful commandment. And there's no, like, well, let me tell you, what Jesus really meant was put most of it in stock options and some IRAs and then spend the rest, what little you have left, on the poor. No. Jesus' words here are really strong. They're meant to get our attention. But let's look at them in the opposite order. Let's start with number 3. Follow after me. Jesus is going to say follow after me a lot, which obviously involves a lot of sitting in church. No, I would suggest it's an awful lot of standing up, walking around, and being involved in people's lives just as Jesus was. If we're going to follow Jesus as a Christian, as a disciple of Christ, as one who carries the light of Christ with us as we go, we need to go to all the places Jesus went in his lifetime, and then even a few more. And we're going to find our friends are going to look an awful lot like Jesus' friends. Amen? If we want to hang out like Jesus hung out, who are going to be our friends? Sinners. If we see the church and our attendance here as a sign of holiness, like a little holiness club, or do we see it as a refuge for sinner, a hospital for those that need healing? The religious leaders of Jesus' time gave him a hard time because he was becoming ritually unclean by hanging out with sinners. In fact, he let sinners even touch him, and he touched them. Do I get close to the same people Jesus got close to? The people that our society, his society, was rejecting? The little ones are among us. They've been kind of pushed to the edges of society, so much so that we may not even recognize they're with us. But if we are willing to follow Jesus, we'll find Jesus' friends everywhere. And finding them, we'll realize how generous God has been to us. And we'll share that generosity almost automatically with those who are in need. I don't think any one of us would turn someone down who was hungry. I don't think any one of us who had 2 coats and our brother or sister is wet in the rain wouldn't just give one of our coats away. When we follow after Jesus and hang out with the friends Jesus kept, we spontaneously want to help. And care for the poor seems to be Jesus' top priority. Care for sinners, care for the poor. We're in good company. And then it gets to that last one. Rich young man, all of this stuff you have might be preventing you from following me. How attached to it are you? Is it more important than relationships? Are you willing to sacrifice some of your stuff to help one another? Or do we need to buy one of the new storage units that's going up out there by McDonald's? Because I don't have enough room in my own garage for all my stuff. We don't get to take any of that stuff with us. And maybe our children don't even want it. Or friends of the library suddenly gets our big book collection, right? Where's all this stuff gonna go? Could we spend a little bit more of it on the care for the poor? That's what Jesus is asking today. When Solomon was offered the choice, King Solomon, right, between wisdom and power and money, he chose power and money. No, he chose wisdom. To be able to discern what is right from wrong. And I think we all desire that wisdom until we want to get away with doing what is wrong and justifying it to ourselves. I think we all desire love until we fall in love with, well, someone else. I think we all desire prudence until it means we can't complain when doing the right thing is hard. How badly do we want to follow Jesus? Do we have that mental toughness in our spiritual life to know the right thing? Have we practiced in little ways? How many times in sports do we go again and again and again and again over the same simple routine so that when the pressure's on, we can execute it perfectly? Do we practice in small ways, giving ourselves away to the poor and following Jesus? Sure, it's going to be really amazing, and there have been different witnesses to giving everything away and following Jesus. This section of Mark has inspired countless saints through the centuries to do just that. Okay, so they're the Olympic athletes of the world. I just like to play on the intramural team, right? Which means I need to be less attached to the things of this world. Because where is the treasure? It's in heaven. That's the real treasure. And what does Jesus promise? That if I'm able to pull this off with God's help, right? Because it's impossible without God's help. Pretty much Jesus guaranteed that. If we have given up everything to follow the Lord, we receive countless more of the same stuff. But imagine if, in our generosity to one another, we're invited into more and more homes. In our friendship with the poor, we end up meeting more and more and more people. Being bound together in those intricate relationships of love that God came to show us how to do. This is a tremendous gift. Jesus is saying, "Rich young man, you've done everything well, but you're caught in a trap. Your possessions are holding you hostage." Ask anyone who has had their home or business destroyed in a hurricane or a typhoon or an earthquake. Just recently in the Pacific Basin, we've had lots of witnesses to that. My brother lives near the fire in Los Angeles. And many of his co-workers who lived up in the mountains lost everything. But he said they were the most joyful, excited people when they got to work because they had a job and they had their family. And they said, "Well, you know, whatever burned down, burned down. It wasn't important." I'm like, "But that's all the stuff. I mean, I had a special alarm system on my house to make sure nobody got my stuff. What do you mean it wasn't important?" And they said, "No. Relationships, family, that's important." Jesus is asking us, where have we placed our trust? In the gift of God, in one another, or in the gifts of the earth? He's certainly not denigrating riches, but he's saying if they hold you hostage, He wants to free you. Where are our priorities? How badly do we want to follow after Jesus? Because we can keep all the commandments well and still lack that one thing, a generous spirit that's willing to follow God to the ends of the earth. God has been so generous to me, to us, to this community. Let's think creatively of ways we can be generous to those in our midst who are truly in need, and in them find Jesus and his love returned to us.